Welcome back to Bravo Breaking News with Kim and Lisa. Last night, we got part two of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion, and things are heating up between Kyle Richards and Sutton Nightmum Strap. Plus, we finally have Queen Kathy entering the chat. Next week, she'll be shuffling onto set in her gorgeous sparkles, but this week, we got her spilling the tea on Kyle and Mauricio in her first 5 seconds on screen.
It was iconic already. We're going to get into it all and give you guys our hot takes. But before we do, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any Bravo breaking news.
So, of course, Bravo is teasing the anticipated return of Kathy because the moment that reunion starts, we see her, you know, coming out of her SUV, walking onto set. Then they go to her in glam and she has this iconic face of contour that I think will go down in Bravo history. It's going to be a meme forever. But she's sharing what she thinks about Kyle and Mo, like literally in the first 10 seconds. It's like they come in with the cameras, they ask her, and she's just blurting everything out. And she shares that she thinks that Kyle has had, you know, questions about her and Mauricio for the past 3 or 4 years. This isn't something that just happened in the last 3 months. This has been going on for a while. What were your thoughts on this kind of just spilling of all the tea?
I mean, first of all, everything Kathy does is just iconic. And like, she's not trying to be funny, but she's funny because just seeing the makeup artist like dab on all this, you know, contour. She gets out of the SUV with her pillow in her robe and her slippers. Like, I just adore this woman. And, you know, I wasn't really surprised when she said that because we had seen her say on some interview before that she didn't think Kyle would take it this far if she wasn't sure about it. So, like, in other words, if she wasn't ready to actually get a divorce, she would never have taken it this far with talking about it publicly. So I guess I wasn't really surprised, but I can't wait to hear what else she has to say.
I know. I think we're going to get a lot more from her. And I mean, this just 5 seconds alone is proof. Like, we need her back. She says what's on her mind. She has no filter. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we need in this show. I feel like that's what we're missing. I feel like a lot of the people at this point know what they're doing. You know, they produce themselves. But Kathy just gives us like exactly what we want.
Exactly. Okay, so we get back to the couches and we kind of get into talking about Kyle's sobriety. Now, there was a lot of talk about drinking in this episode. We got them talking about not only Kyle's sobriety, but whether Sutton has a drinking problem or not. Sutton insinuating maybe Dorit has a drinking problem. Dorit talks about PK's recent sobriety. So there was just a lot of talk about this topic. And I want to know from you, do you think that throughout the season, Kyle and Dorit were insinuating that Sutton has a drinking problem?
100%. I mean, they talked about it over and over and over again. Like, it wasn't just like an offhand comment. They brought it up multiple times. They brought up, you know, the mixer, the Ocean Spray grapefruit, etc., the roadie. I mean, like, it was, I don't know, maybe it was the editors highlighting it, but it definitely seems like they brought it up over and over again. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Dorit's comments were definitely stronger, but I do think it seemed to be a through line within their conversation. So I think Sutton had a right to, you know, call them out about it and say what she thought. I do think that Kyle, in the moment before the weed dinner, I think that Kyle was saying, look, I just didn't know if you had maybe had a couple of drinks before I came over. Maybe like you mixed it with your medicine and that, you know, that can make you appear more erratic. So I don't think it was that comment was that bad, but they definitely were kind of going there in multiple occasions.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of clarification needed to be like, no, 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 I didn't mean it like that. No, 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 here was the right context. You know, like, there's a lot of explanation like that everybody had to give on both sides as to why they said what they said. I don't know. I think they should just come out and say it. They kind of basically did. They're like, well, you know, I don't know if you have a problem. You know, I may think that or whatever. It was just like, you know, nobody, they were just beating around the bush a lot. But it all kind of boils down to the fact that there were so many changes going on in Kyle's life. She stopped drinking. She started working out. She did all of this. And, you know, Kyle explains, like, look, It's because I was going through a challenging year. I told you guys on the first episode at the Eagle Woman Retreat that shit was going on. I'm sorry that I didn't divulge every single detail because, to be honest, I didn't really know what was going on. It had just started going on. And, you know, of course, they're going to come at her for not being open. But, you know, here at Bravo Breaking News, we support Kyle. I think that she has been open. She says she's been on this show for 13 years and she lists out the receipts, proof, timeline, screenshots, everything that she shared through that time. And just because she wasn't divulging every little detail of her split with Mauricio, I don't think that means that she's not sharing her life with us.
I completely agree. And I loved when she said, "What makes you think you're so entitled to know every intimate detail that goes on, like in my bedroom?" Like, she was telling you guys that she was having a rough time in her marriage. What else do you need from the woman? And it was, you know, it really put things into perspective when she said, like, "Are you kidding me, Sutton? Your storyline this season has been that you bought a horse and you have a dating coach. And it, where's the lie?" Like, she is completely right about that.
However, I do think that Sutton did bring more than that. You know, we got the whole Merce in the purse storyline, and Sutton did open up, you know, eventually, I guess, about her issues with her husband, what was going on and stuff. So while I support Kyle, I also think that Sutton did have a really strong storyline this season and brought a lot to the show beyond the horse and the dating coach. I don't know. That's just my take. What do you think?
I hear you. And I do think that, yeah, this is probably the most she has ever shared about her ex-husband. But it still doesn't seem to compare to what we've seen Kyle put out there. Okay, so Kyle also says, you know, "Sutton, it seems like you just came on this season to come after me." And I do think that Sutton was coming pretty hard for Kyle, especially in the beginning. And I don't know. It's not really making sense to me if they're supposed to be this close that, you know, she kind of referred to herself as her third sister. And I was confused the whole time about why she was kind of coming so hard for Kyle.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, let's be real. These women are trying to make a show. They're trying to bring drama. I don't know. I feel like Sutton, you know, Sutton's gonna sleuth. So if she sees, you know, something that she wants to dig into, whether it be about her friend or somebody else, I think she's going to do it. So I don't know. I'm glad she did because we got some entertaining storylines out of it. But let's shift over to Dorit because I am so glad that Andy brought this up at the reunion. The fact that Dorit seems to have made quite the shift this season in regards to her looks or lack thereof. She, you know, she went brown. There is no blonde in sight anymore. No logos in sight anywhere. I mean, it is just, you know, obviously we were all thinking this girl's broke. She has no money and she's trying to hide it. You know, blonde is expensive to keep up. So I don't know. She claims that she's not on a budget, but the way she said it was like, "My husband didn't give me a budget," you know, and Andy's like, "Wait, so you gave yourself a budget?" And she's like, "No." So I don't know. I'm still not buying it.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting her to say, like, "Look, after the robbery, I kind of just felt like I needed to tone things down a little bit and not be so ostentatious with my wealth and, like, putting all these labels, wearing, you know, head-to-toe Louis Vuitton." So I was expecting her to go there, and she didn't. We didn't really get an explanation beyond the hair just saying she was ready for a change. So I don't know, but the best part of it all was that Andy starts to yawn yet again. This is the third year in a row that Andy has flat out yawned while Dorit is talking. And it is just, at this point, it's just like, it's hilarious to me. We need to put together a montage of all three times because I love it.
I do love it. And I don't know. I mean, that's got to say something about Dorit. I mean, if this is three times in a row, oof, like, that's not a good look.
So then we kind of turn to Garcelle and Dorit, right? Because Garcelle had made this comment in the confessional that she doesn't really notice jewelry, talking about Kyle's new wedding ring that Sutton pointed out. She doesn't really notice jewelry, except she did notice that Dorit still had hers after her robbery. So that was a really, like, controversial comment that Garcelle made. And this is, you know, their time to address it. And I gotta say, I felt like Garcelle needed to just like take her stance a little bit harder. She was like, well, that was just my opinion. And like, I'm not saying that you weren't robbed, but I'm saying things were off. And it's like, well, what does that mean? If you think that it was fake, it was staged, like, just come out and say it. Don't say it without saying it, kind of thing. But I think that was really hurtful. And look, maybe I'm naive, but I do think that Dorit was truly robbed. I think the guy left the phone because all she had to do was like log on an iPad and do find my iPhone and call the police and say he's here if he had taken her phone. So to me, that made sense. But I just think it was like really harsh of Garcelle to say this and then like double down on it. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. The phone thing is definitely sus to me. The fact that she was like, please, I'll have no way to call my husband. And they were just like, okay, like, is a little sus. But I don't think that the burglary was a hoax. However, you know, there are theories that like PK orchestrated this whole thing and Dorit like still has no idea. So there's that. I am still maybe following that theory a little bit. But speaking of Dorit and PK, we get an update on kind of their marriage, because I think it was like the day before the Beverly Hills premiere, we got this headline that Dorit and PK were splitting up. They were living separate lives. I thought it was going to be a whole big deal on the season. You know, we heard about their challenges, but it wasn't really the main storyline. She shares that things got progressively worse after they wrapped, and it was all because of PK's drinking. He had a drinking problem. We didn't really see any of that on screen, but I guess that they're a lot better now. She says they're the best they've ever been because PK is now 49 days sober. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised to hear that, honestly, when she took that breath to say we are, and I was like, which way is she gonna go? And she said the better than we've ever been. I mean, I don't know. I think it's a little bit of an act, but it sounds like, you know, he was probably drinking a little more than he should have and traveling a lot, and it was just not a good mix. So, you know, I'm happy for them. They have two kids, and like, you know, I think it's best not to put them through divorce if you can stay together. Obviously, there's situations where divorce is the best option, but for them, it seems like they are, you know, can work through this kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. I wish them the best, but I don't know. Isn't it kind of weird? We talked about this before, that it seems like Dorit like barely had a storyline the entire season, yet the whole reunion is kind of about her. It's about her and Kyle, her and Garcelle, her and Crystal, her and PK. It's like, where did all of these like feuds come from? It's like they started out small and then are like the main event at the reunion.
Yeah, the first part of the reunion was basically the Dorit show. And then again last night, there was so much Dorit, and it was just like, what is going on here? Because she certainly wasn't like the main focus of the season, yet it seems like she's the main focus of the reunion.
Well, it does bode well for her to return next season, because I think she was on the chopping block, but maybe this has changed Bravo's mind.
Yeah. And one person we haven't heard a ton from yet is Erica. So we kind of get this segment about Erica. Basically, it's reading as a Bet It All on Blonde promo for us to go watch that. But she tells us, you know, Tom's been diagnosed with dementia. As far as he's concerned, he still thinks he's practicing law, she claims. He doesn't realize that he's in like a mental care facility. And it kind of gets brought up like about Housewife and the Hustler. You know, Andy asks, why did you sit down with the victims? And it is so strange because she literally cannot or will not give an answer. She just keeps saying, I cannot answer. And I don't know if that means like, I don't have a good answer for you, I don't know why I did it, or if it means legally I cannot answer that question. It's just very strange. And she kind of says, oh, I wanted them to see me for, you know, not just a housewife, not just a reality star. And it's like, it's not about you, Erica. You should have gone to meet with them to like learn about their stories, not so they think better of you. It's just all very confusing. We get a cutaway to Anne Marie, and I swear to God, Kim, I forgot she was there, because that whole like first 40 minutes, we didn't hear from her, we didn't see her, and all of a sudden they cut away to her, and I was like, oh my God, Anne Marie, I totally forgot about her.
It was such a shock. Like, you were like, whoa, Like, it was almost like it startled me. Like, I was like, whoa, who is that? Like,
yeah.
Who's this stranger on the couch? Like, I told you last recap that we would not hear from her again for the rest of the reunion. And I think we got like one line from her this part, and I doubt we will hear from her at all the next part. But it was really interesting about Erica, though, because she was kind of basically implying that the victims like told her some new information or something that she couldn't share and stuff. And that's why she couldn't say why she met with the victims. Was there some sort of like ulterior motive? Were they like feeding her information? She says that she found out that some of her money was in a client's trust. I don't know. It was very confusing the way she like half explained it and then was like, I can't say anymore.
Right.
I don't know if we'll see more of that in the spin or what.
We did get an interesting moment where Crystal is kind of implying that is Tom faking this dementia? Because she claims, you know, he's now at least 4 years into this disease and he would be far enough gone where he shouldn't be competent enough to stand trial. I have no idea how that works, like who assesses if he's competent or not, how they do that assessment. But it was kind of shady for Crystal to throw that out there. And Erica just kind of seems, I don't know. I don't know if she even really cares. She's just like, he's not my husband anymore.
I mean, but let's be real. Crystal's saying what we were all thinking. Like, there's definitely a possibility. It's like, we never heard about this decline or dementia before the lawsuit. And then all of a sudden, he's out of his mind and doesn't remember what he's doing and thinks he's still practicing law. Like, it was just like a switch flipped. And that's obviously not how this disease works. So I think that Crystal, yes, she doesn't make the most drama on the show, but she is the voice of reason. She tends to be the voice of the people, you know, bringing up what we're all thinking. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess at the end of the day, he kind of is a con man. So maybe he is putting it on.
Totally agree.
All right. So we can't get through this reunion without circling back to Vegas and Magic Mike, right? So we get Andy asking Sutton, like, what was it that just really triggered you from the show? Sutton again says, it was the simulation of Cunnilingus. I didn't expect it to be a show like that. And I'm sorry, I am just calling bullshit once again. You wore pants. You brought a stack of ones. What did you think was going to happen? You bring a stack of ones to like a strip club, right? So you're going to have naked men, half naked men, like dancing for you. I don't understand why she keeps like trying to say, no, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. That was it. You even are on camera saying, I wore pants for nothing. You were hurt that you didn't get pulled up on stage. You overreacted and now you're embarrassed about it. Just call it what it is.
I completely agree. I don't know why Sutton just won't admit it. Like, it's not a big deal at all. Like,
no.
I don't think the American Ballet Association or whatever will give a fuck, Sutton. Like, just say it. You're on a reality show. I just don't understand why she's continuing with this narrative that really like doesn't mean anything at all. Like, just say it.
Yeah, just name them, right? So then we get the whole thing about the elevator. Was that staged? You know, Erica says, of course it was not, but it was, you know, kind of perfect because Sutton humiliated Erica in front of the cast. And so here was her turn to kind of like give it back to her. And then we get back to this, like, you guys were being mean to me, Kyle versus Sutton. And I want to know your take. Like, who is the worst friend? These two have both done things to one another. Is Kyle the worst friend to Sutton, or is Sutton a worse friend to Kyle?
Well, I kind of think that it started with Sutton calling out Kyle's issues and making a big deal about her changing her lifestyle and stuff. And I almost feel as though Kyle coming after Sutton was just like retaliation. You know, like, well, you're going to come for me. Okay, I'm going to come right back at you and call out all of your flaws and things that you're doing wrong because Sutton started calling out Kyle. I don't know. I'm not choosing sides because I love them both. I think that Kyle has been open and honest about her relationship. And I think that Sutton, I don't know, calling out some of these inconsistencies while she did take it across the line, I think it's fair to call them out. But I don't know. I don't think that one has been a better friend to another, but I think it's like tit for tat. Like, if she's going to call you out, you better be ready to take it and like fire it right back.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was really upset that we didn't get Denise Richards. I really wanted them to bring her out in this episode, because they did talk about the jacket and the weed dinner and all of that. I would have loved for them to just bring her out for 10 minutes, you know, get to the bottom of like what was going on at that weed dinner, ask her about the jacket. And I just think it was a missed opportunity. I really wanted to see Denise there.
Well, she wasn't at the reunion, but she was on Watch What Happens Live last night with the upside down pink jacket. I haven't watched yet, but I saw the
clip. Oh my God, amazing.
It was hilarious. So I don't know. I feel like on Watch What Happens Live, she probably does divulge a few more details. So maybe, you know, maybe they just saved it all for that.
All right. Got to head over to bravotv.com for more info.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We have one more part of the Beverly Hills reunion. What will the bombshell be? Is Kyle going to come out and say she's a lesbian? Is she going to reveal that Mauricio cheated on her? What is Kathy doing here? We will get to the bottom of it all next week. So make sure you tune in and subscribe so you don't miss any more Bravo breaking news.
See you all next time.